Morning. Today's daf in Pesachim Kuf Dalet. We are on the very top of Kuf Dalet and Aleph. We're starting with the words Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Today's daf is going to center itself around Havdalah and various aspects regarding Havdalah. So how do we get to the topic of Havdalah here in the 10th parak of Pesachim? It happens to be an excellent question. Not totally sure, but we're here. Yesterday on Kuf Gimel, so we noted that Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba went to the house of Rava for a Shabbos, spent Shabbos by him, and noted a couple of unique and distinct features about the practices of Rava regarding mostly having to do with brachos and how many brachos he would make, specifically how many brachos he would make over wine. Over the course of the meal, he would make one bracha of wine. At the beginning of the meal, he would then make, he wouldn't make a bracha again. And the last time he would make a bracha over a cup of wine is when he would bench over a cup of wine. Benching is ala kos, and he made a bracha, he made a birchas hamazon ala kos, and he made a bracha on the wine, even though he already made a bracha on the wine earlier. And obviously he viewed benching as a hefsek, and that took up a good part of yesterday's daf. In the meantime, at the end of Shabbos, so obviously the end of Shabbos, ushers in Havdalah, and Rava made Havdalah, and a number of curiosities regarding the Havdalah that Rava made. The Havdalah that Rava made sounds very similar to the Havdalah that we make, but nevertheless, clearly in the time of the Gemara, Havdalah was not as formatted as it is now. They didn't have Sidurim like we have now, which is makes everything a little bit more uniform. There was a little more flexibility, fluidity in terms of how to make Havdalah. And so Rava's Havdalah, which to us seems like quote-unquote normal, obviously, to his guests, seemed a little bit strange and unusual. He noted, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, for example, when he made Havdalah, so the only component of the Havdalah was Amavda Mekosh Lechol. That was the Havdalah of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And that was it. So he says, okay, Rava says, that's fine. I have a different tradition. My tradition is that Havdalah's got to have somewhere between 3 to 7 components in it or distinctions in it. And I subscribe to that to that tradition. And the Havdalah that was said by Rava, really truth of the matter is, had 4 components to it, 4 distinctions in it, but as the Gemara noted at the end of yesterday's daf, not exactly, because even though Bein HaShvi L'Sheshes Yemei HaMaaseh was one of the 4 distinctions that was contained in Rava's Havdalah, but that's Me'ein HaChasima. That just simply captures what's going to be the concluding bracha of Havdalah, and that doesn't go towards the minyan, and therefore, really there are 3 distinctions in his Havdalah, which is basically what you want. You want somewhere between 3 to 7. You want somewhere, not between, but you want either 3 or 7. Although the truth of the matter is, the way the Gemara said it, it sounded like you needed somewhere between 3 to 7. But as the Rashman pointed out yesterday, and Tosis on the very top of Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph points out, it sounds more like it's either going to be 3 or 7. Anyway, comes out over here that we got into the topic of Havdalah based on this interaction between Rava and Rav Yaakov Bar Abba, and so therefore it is going to be cause now for the Gemara for the entirety of today to talk about aspects of Havdalah. We are on the very top of the Amud Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. We continue. I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. I'm Avdei Tzarech Shomer Mein Chasima Samach LeChasima Som. Okay, this idea that you're going to be saying a paragraph, and in the paragraph you're going to be talking about various aspects. But as you approach now the Chasima, that's the concluding bracha of this longer bracha. Longer, by the way, Havdalah is not that long, but in the sense that it's a paragraph, and now you're going to be concluding. So what has to be towards the end? So the Me'ein HaChasima has to be right towards the end. It has to be Samach LeChasima Sof. So you have to capture the bracha. You have to give the essential theme of the bracha right before you get to the Chasima. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Pumbedisa Amrei Me'ein Psichasan Samach LeChasima San. And Pumbedisa, in the yeshiva Pumbedisa, so they say it a little bit differently, and that is that the beginning of the Havdalah has got to be right there next to the Chasima. So my Beinai, so the Gemara says, now wait 1 second, I'm a little bit confused, meaning ultimately when all said and done, there doesn't seem to be a difference between them. Because as we talk about Havdalah from Shabbos to Motzei Shabbos, so really the beginning, the end, it's all thematically the same. We're making a distinction between the Kedusha of Shabbos versus Chol versus a weekday. And there's no difference between the psich and the chasima, or towards the end of the chasima. It's all thematically the same. So the Gemara says, you're right, but ikabe now, yom tov shechali osachar Shabbos. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you where it's going to play out, and there's going to be a practical difference, and that is when we're going from Shabbos to Yom Tov. Again, like we're going to be doing this year. right? Pesach this year, first day of Pesach falls out on a Sunday. So we're going from Shabbos to Yontif. So now under those circumstances. So the Chasmina, so here the Chasmina is going to be different. Okay, hopefully you'll remember, or we'll get a review, quick review in a short couple weeks from now. And that is that when we're going to be making Havdalah at the Seder night, so we're not going to say Ben Kodesh L'Chol. We're not going from Shabbos to a weekday. We're going Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. We're going from one level of Kedusha to another level of Kedusha. We're dropping down a level of Kedusha. Yontif does not have the same degree, the same level of Kedusha as Shabbos. So we are making a Havdalah. We're making a distinction, but between Shabbos and Yontif. So under those circumstances, we know the Chasim is going to be Hamavdo Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. Now, being that that's the case, so what should be the sentence immediately prior to the chasima? So the Gemara says, good, now it's going to play out to be a nafkamina. So if I subscribe to the idea that the essence of the paragraph does not need to have the chasima immediately before the chasima. So that means to say that I'm looking right now at the nusach of the Havdalah going from Shabbos to Yontif. You're going to find it in the Haggadah. You'll find it also in any siddur that has kiddush of Yontif. So kiddush of Yontif. So if necessary, like this year, where we're going to have also not only to make kiddush but Havdalah as well. So the chasima ends off with Hamavdal ben Kodesh l'Kodesh. The sentence immediately prior is Yivdalta v'kidashta es amcha Yisrael b'kdusha secha. So the Gemara says, if I subscribe to the idea that that I don't need to capture the chasima in the sense immediately prior, so then I don't need ben kedushas yom tov. Kedusha Shabbos, kedushas yom tov yivdalta. That sentence doesn't need to be right before the chasima. And mandam remain chasima son samach chasima son by the memra ben kedusha Shabbos, kedushas yom tov yivdalta. If, however, the main chasima has to be immediately prior to the chasima, so then you need the sentence of a separation between kedusha Shabbos, kedusha yom tov right before the chasima. Okay, so not quite sure exactly what is the main issue over here in terms of the formatting. We're basically having a discussion, a debate in the Gemara in terms of what is the correct formatting of a bracha. Does a bracha need to capture the theme of the chasima immediately prior to the chasima? Okay, so, and the Gemara has a debate, but push comes to shove. I can't really explain what the competing svaras are over here. But meanwhile, that's the Gemara's debate over here, and for our purposes, we know, meaning we have a nosach, and in our nosach, so we have the Ben Kedusha Shabbos, the Kedusha Yom Tov, immediately prior to the Chasima, so obviously, we subscribe to this viewpoint that it has to be, that you have to capture the Chasima in the sentence immediately prior. Good, that's the halacha that we follow. Gufa the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yosha, Ha Po Ches Lo Yifchos Mishal Shva Mosif Lo Yosif Al Sheva. Okay, we're going to go back to a point that we made at the end of yesterday's daf, that sheet of Rebbe Elazar, which is that you're going to put in distinctions, meaning when you make Havdalah, so you got to make a number of distinctions. We got to highlight the idea that we're distinguishing between Shabbos and Chol, and we're going to talk about other things that are distinguished one from another. Again, back in the time of the Gemara, there was fluidity in terms of how many distinctions was made. We don't have to think about it, meaning we open up a siddur and we say whatever's in front of us. But back in the day where it was a more fluid situation, so it can range anywhere from 3 to 7. That's what we learned yesterday, B'Shem Rabbi Lazar. And that's in fact what Rava did. Rava happened to make a Havdalah that had 4 distinctions in it. Okay. So anyway, Meitzvei, the Gemara challenge is based on a Tosefta. The Tosefta reads, Omer Havdalos B'motzei Shabbosos V'motzei Yomim Tovim V'motzei Yom Kippurim. The time to say Havdalah. So anytime that we're departing from Kedusha, Motzei Shabbos, Motzei Yom Tov, Motzei Yom Kippur, Motzei Shabbos Yom Tov, Motzei Yom Tov L'Chol Shel Moed. If we are going from Shabbos to Yom Tov, which we're dropping in Kedusha, if we're going from Yom Tov to Chol Moed, also a drop in Kedusha. Avalah B'motzei Yom Tov L'Shabbos. But when we're going up in Kedusha, let's say, for example, we're going from a Motzei Yontif to a Shabbos, right? Yontif was a Friday. And now we're going up to Shabbos. So that's not, there's no need for Havdalah over there. In fact, we don't make Havdalah in those circumstances. And HaRagel Omer Harbe, V'Shena Ragel Omer Achas. Now, if you're Ragel, if you have a certain amount of fluency in terms of your ability of knowing Pesukim and citing Havdalahs that are found in the Torah, so that's great. So say a lot. The Bryce over here doesn't give a number, but say a lot of them. And if ain't a ruggle, and if you just don't have that kind of fluency, omer achas, you only need to say one, and that would be sufficient. Now, clearly over here, the Bryce says that one would be sufficient. And meanwhile, Rav Elazar says that that at a base minimum, you need three havdalos. And the Bryce over here clearly is not going like Rav Elazar. So tonight, he said, the Gemara says, okay, it's a machlokas tanaim. Da'am Rav Yochanan ben Nanshel Kadoshin Omer Achas. So the Gemara quotes over here Rav Yochanan, who it doesn't seem like it's a Bryce, but anyway, but he's quoting tanaim. So the ben Nanshel Kadoshin, so the sons of Kadoshin says one, v'nagu am lomer shalosh, but the minhag is to say three. So, mind you, benanshel kedoshim. So, a reference to somebody who's a holy individual. Now, he's benanshel kedoshim, which quite literally means that he's the son of a kadosh, but I'll show you Tosfos in just a moment. We're talking about the person himself. It's not just that he's the son of somebody holy. He himself is a very holy individual. And that's Rabbi Nachum Bar Simai. So the Gemara identifies it's Rabbi Menachem, Amai Karalu Benanshel Kedoshin, and why does he get that certain kind of name? They'll always talk about Sirasa D'Zuzza because he would never gaze at the image on a coin. Looking at an image of a coin, the Gemara in Moed Katan discusses it in more detail. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah discusses it in terms of looking at images. But anyway, okay, to take a quick look to see what it is, fine. But to be mistakled, but to really gaze at it, if you are of a certain spiritual level, you wouldn't do that. And he didn't do that. And therefore he got the name Benanshel Kedoshim. Now, Tosfos over here says that really, even though we're describing that he's the son of a Kadosh, it's he that we're describing, meaning it's this Rabbi Menachem. You can see the second last Tosfos on the Amud, our Rabbi Menachem Kai, right? He who did not look at the image, it's a reference to Rabbi Menachem. Da'am Rabbi Moikatan beperek Basra, and he quotes a Gemara Moikatan. And then at the end of the Tosfos, V'tola Kedusha Soba Aviv, Shigam Aviv Hayakodesh. So the Gemara notes, however, that when given an opportunity, we're also going to highlight that not only he was a Kadosh, but his father was a Kadosh as well. So he was Kadosh, his father was Kadosh, good. So, but the point is that we just saw together in the Braisa that there is a range of position regarding how many Havdalahs one should be making at the end of Shabbos. So in the Braisa, so this Rabbi Menachem would make one, but the minhag is to make three, like Rabbi Elazar espoused. At least three, according to Rebbe Lazar. Shalach le Rav Shmuel bar Idi, Chananya achi omer achas, v'leisei chesak avasei. Correspondence on this issue, Rav Shmuel says that my brother would say one, but the halacha does not follow that viewpoint, meaning we don't say one, we say at a minimum three. And again, for us, not much to think about because we have a sitter, we have a nusach. So, obviously, however, our Gemara over here was taken into account in terms of what the nusach should be. So for us, we don't think about it, but clearly there was a point in time where Havdalah, a lot more thought went into Havdalah, and there was room for there was a room for a range of positions, and we've seen it together in the Gemara. Okay, so far our focus to this point in the daf is basically how many Havdalah should be made, and also what should be the sentence immediately prior to the chasima of the bracha. So that has been the focus of the Gemara. And now we're going to be talking about the actual Havdalahs themselves, meaning what should be those areas of distinctions that we're going to be highlighting in Havdalah. Am Rav Yeshua ben Levi, am Avdol Tzarech Shiyomer, me'in Havdalahs Amrus B'Torah. So Rav Yeshua ben Levi teaches us that when making Havdalah, so the Havdalahs that you should be inserting in the Nusach of the Havdalah should be anything that was already based in the Torah, meaning when the Torah describes distinctions between items, using the word Havdalah, using the root of the word Havdalah. So those are the various Havdalahs in which we should take from, we should capture in terms of putting into our Havdalahs. So the Gemara says, Meisvei Havdalahs Hechomer. So the Gemara says, okay, but here we're going to quote another Braisa, detailing exactly what the Havdalahs are going to be in the course of Havdalah. So Hechomer Hamavdol. I'm sorry, Hechomer, how do you say it exactly? So Hamavdol Bein Kosh Lechol. Bein or lechoshech, bein yisrael amin, bein yom ashri l'sheshes imei amaseh, bein tamil l'tahor, bein ha'yam l'charava, bein mayim l'yonim l'mayim tachtonim, bein kohanim l'levim v'yisraelim. So here we just outlined seven different havdalos. Each one of them Well, in a moment, I'm going to correct myself. But each one of them is sourced in a pasuk in the Torah, meaning we have a pasuk detailing how each one of these have gone through a havdalah, a distinction, separation, one from the other. And if you count it up, which I did, so there are seven in total over here. Good. So far, so good. V'chosim b'seder b'reishis. So, and what are you going to do? So the chasima is going to be seder b'reishis. What does that mean, that the chasima is going to be seder b'reishis? If you take a look at the Rashma over here towards the bottom of the Amud, seder b'reishis, baruch soder b'reishis, shebem motzei shabbos hischal kadosh baruch hu l'sader maisa b'reishis. Because what happens is that Motzei Shabbos, here we go again, meaning that we're going to basically restart Maisa Bereishis. Maisa Bereishis took 7 days. Now that we're at the conclusion of 7 days, so we're restarting again, meaning the week captures Maisa Bereishis. So the beginning of the week obviously is going to capture the beginning of Maisa Bereishis. Good. V'acherim amrim b'yotzer b'reishis. Now, according to Acherim, the chasima should be yotzer b'reishis. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chosem Mikadosh Yisrael. So over here, three different opinions at the end of the Braisa in terms of what the chasima of the Havdal should be. Needless to say, but I'll say it, we don't follow any one of these three shitas regarding what the chasima is. Anyway, but that's not the Gemara's focus right now. What the Gemara's bothered by is the following. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says that as far as the Havdalahs that are going to be said, as far as the choice of Havdalahs that are going to be said on Motzei Shabbos, to insert into the Havdalah, so you're going to be using something that where we find a pasuk in Chumash where the Torah uses the word Havdalah, and seven examples that are given. Now, if you know Chumash very well, so there should be one that stands out to you. But the Gemara is going to spell it out for us in terms of which does not belong. Of the seven that were just given, which does not belong? Meaning, which do we not have a pasuk for that tells us that there was a Havdalah between these? V'imisa ha-bein ha-yam l'chareva lo ksive be-havdalah. So the Gemara says, yam l'chareva, right, the ocean to the water to the dry land. So the Torah doesn't use the word Havdalah. Yes, the Torah obviously talks about how the water makes room for dry land to emerge. That part's true, but the Torah does not use the word Havdalah. And again, the examples that are given, the examples of the options in which we could choose from in terms of what we're going to insert into our Havdalah has to be modeled, formatted by the Torah using the word, the actual word Havdalah. So the Gemara says, so fine. So if Rav Yeshua ben Levi is right, so of the seven examples that are given in this Braisa, so Ben Yam al-Kharava doesn't belong. So the Gemara says, okay, Sami Mikan, Ben Yam al-Kharava. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to edit the Braisa and take it out of the Braisa. So the Gemara says, Yachi Ben Yam al-Shilu Sheshi Me'amase, Nami Me'in Chasimahu. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you now the problem. So the problem is that the Ben Yam al-Shilu Sheshi Me'amase, so that's Me'in HaChasima. And as we already pointed out, at the end of yesterday's year, at the beginning of today's year, that doesn't count. So batzer chada v'leik yesheva. So the Gemara says now what we basically done is we subtracted one, and so therefore we no longer have seven. Meaning taking out ben yam l'charava, taking out also the ben yam shlishi shemayamaseh. So now we are minus one. So Amri, so the Gemara says, okay, but what we'll do is we'll do a little bit of accounting over here. Kohanim Levim v'Yisrael trei milei nenu. So the Gemara says that if you look at the seventh example in the Braisa of Ben Kohanim Levim v'Yisraelim, that really counts as two. Because Ben Levim v'Yisrael dechsiv ba'isahi, hivdil Hashem ha-shevet ha-levi. So as far as the Shevet Levi being separate and distinct from the rest of the Shvatim, so we have a pasuk, 10th parak of Devarim. So, and the Torah uses the words Havdalah. And Ben Kohanim Levim Dichsiv, and as far as Kohen and Levi is concerned, so Bnei Amram Aaron Moshe Vayavdalah Aaron Lakdisha Kodesh Kadashim. And the idea that the Bnei Aaron are separate and distinct from the Levim, so we have a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, which by the way means that you have the entirety of Tanakh in terms of looking at where the Torah, where Tanakh uses the word Havdalah. So in order to give examples, so we just need to have a thorough and pretty precise knowledge of the entirety of Tanakh. Okay. There's probably good reason why we have a sitter and all this has already been formatted for us. But anyway, what comes out over there is as follows. So with a little bit of accounting, so we got to seven in the Braisa. We also took out Benayam l'chareva because it doesn't fit into the rule of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. The rule of Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi is that the only ones that we could use are only those that have the word Havdalah being used in Tanakh. Okay, so everything works out. We successfully defended Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. After going through the various Havdalahs that can be used in your Havdalah, and using a number anywhere from 3 to 7, the Gemara now wants to know what's going to be the Chasim of Havdalah. Again, for us, it's not a discussion because we have a sitter. Good. But back in the day, however, it was a discussion. And again, there was a range of positions. So, michte my chasim. So, what's going to be the chasim of Havdalah? What is that closing bracha of Havdalah? So, Rav Amar Mikadosh Yisrael Shmuel Amar Amavda Mikosh Lechol. So, machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Now, normally, when it comes to Issa V'Heter, so we're going to go like Rav over here. This is going to be one of those examples where we don't go like Rav. In fact, the Gemara over here is vehemently opposed to the idea of Rav. Rav says, Mikadesh Yisrael. It's really difficult to understand what Rav was trying to accomplish by saying Mikadesh Yisrael, meaning Shmuel, just aside from the fact that the halacha follows like him, really is much more mistaber. It's a much more reasonable position. Meaning, what is Havdalah? We are now deconsecrating. In other words, we've just concluded with Shabbos. We just went through a day of Kedusha. And now at the end of the Kedusha, so now we're highlighting how we're distinguishing between a holy day and a non-holy day. Shmuel makes a lot of sense. It's difficult. It's challenging to give a good understanding of what Rav is trying to accomplish. Anyway, La'itallah abaye vitem Rav Yosef ahad Rav. And the Gemara over here shows its immense displeasure with the position of Rav. Abaye or Rav Yosef would curse anyone who would take the position of Rav and conclude their Havdalah with the words Mekadosh Yisrael. So in not only is it difficult to defend what the rationale is behind Rav, on top of that, it's also really difficult. The Amoraim are strongly objecting to that position, cursing people who follow the position of Rav. So obviously over here, there's a lot more going on behind the scenes in terms of what Rav was trying to convey. And meanwhile, the other Amoraim flatly, fully rejecting of the position of Rav. Tana Mishmei de Rav Yeshua ben Chananya kol achosim mekadosh Yisrael v'amav de mekadosh lechol ma'arichin lo yamav u'shnosav. Okay, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya makes an attempt to add both of these themes into the chasima of your Havdalah. You should put in the words mekadosh Yisrael and amav de mekadosh lechol, and if you do that ma'arichin lo yamav u'shnosav, you're going to have a long life. Clearly, the Gemara is, at least not the Gemara, but Rav Yeshua ben Chananya is trying to have both of these themes go at the end of the Havdalah. And the Gemara just immediately dismisses this as we now turn to the top of Kuf Dalam and Beis Valei Silchus HaKuf and say, but that's not the Halacha. The Halacha does not follow like this viewpoint of Rav Yeshua ben Chananya. And the Rashbam at the very top of the Amud, the very first Rashbam, it doesn't have a Dibra HaMaskal, V'lei Silchus HaKuf HaSei, Elik Rav Yehuda, Look, we already concluded that when going from Shabbos to Yontif, you go Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. So it makes sense, says the Rashbam, that when going from Shabbos to Chol, you're going to say Ben Kodesh L'Chol. Okay. And also, notes the Rashbam with the Dibra Maschal Rashbam, the first one on the Amud, V'leisei Chosakavasei, Kareb Yeshua ben Chananya, L'fishein Chosmin B'shtayim, B'perek Shlosh Shachlu. So the Rashbam reminds us of the seventh Perek of Brachos. We're there as a rule, so when you get to the Chasima, in the paragraph itself of a Bracha, so there is room to give various ideas and themes within the paragraph itself. But once you get to the Chasima, so it has to be distilled down to one singular idea. And you're not allowed to convey and communicate multiple ideas in the Chasima. So over here, the Rashbam's explanation of why the Gemara just flatly rejects this suggestion of Rav Yeshua ben Chananya, that you should add Mikadosh Yisrael and Amavdu ben Kosh Lechol. So that's a violation of that rule, that when push comes to shove, when you get to a Chasima, you have to end off on one note, and you're not allowed to end off with multiple notes. If you remember the Gemara over there in the seventh Perek of Brachos, the Gemara over there noted that there is a notable exception. Notable exception is going to be when you have Shabbos and Yontif coinciding with one another, and you're making and you're davening Maariv and Shacharis and Mincha. So there's only one central bracha, right? That's it's seven brachas in total for Shemoneh Esrei. There's only one central bracha, and you have to acknowledge that it's Shabbos and it's Yontif, or it's Shabbos and it's Rosh Chodesh. So it's a rule breaker, but just simply because there's no choice. But over here, however, when you're chosim a bracha, you got to end off on one note. And so, okay, but clearly, and again, in a way that I cannot articulate, you see Rav and you see Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, and there's this idea of Mikdash Yisrael as being a really important theme that you have to end off with Havdalah with, and I lack the vocabulary to explain why that becomes such a such a central theme to Havdalah. And when all said and done, that's not the accepted halacha. Okay, Ula. Ikla la Pumbadisa, we're on the very top of Kuf Dalam and Bez. Ula goes to Pumbadisa. Amalei, Rav Yehuda la Rav Yitzchak, Berei, sorry. Zila Matalei, Kilkala de Per Vechazi Heche Avdel. So Ula gives instructions. Ula goes to Pumbadisa, and he goes to Rav Yehuda, his son, and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to bring him, sorry. Okay, apologize for the coughing. So, I want you to give him, I'm sorry, let's do this again, let's do this correctly. Ula went to Pumbadisa, now Rav Yehuda says to his own son, okay, there we go, now that's correct. Rav Yehuda says to his own son, so we have Ula in town, meaning Ula was aside from being an Amora, but clearly a really respected personality amongst the Amoraim. And so, what Rav Yehuda wanted to do is he wanted to learn Maisa Rav. He wanted to see how the Rav behaved. And so, what he did is he sent his son to go capture some information in terms of what are some of the practices of Ula. So, Amalei Rav Yehuda Rav Yitzchak Berei. So, Rav Yehuda says to his son Rav Yitzchak, Zila Matalei Kokala de Peri. So, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go bring a basket of fruit, Vechazi Hechi Avdel. And I want you to go see how he makes Avdalah. Okay, presumably that meant that he sent his son there for Shabbos, with the express purpose of seeing how Havdalah works out. And obviously, like any good guest, you don't go there empty-handed. So when you go there, you want to bring along a basket of fruit. Okay, anyway, it's great. We see not only the halacha, but we see some basic etiquette and good manners presented over here in the Gemara. So, okay, but anyway, but the purpose over here, the express purpose over here is to see how Ula makes Avdalah. Lo azol. Now, Rav Yitzchak decided, you know what, I'll follow Dad's instructions, but not perfectly. I'm not going to go. Shadu leila Abaye. So what he does is he sends Abaye. Abaye, look, my dad wants me to go to Ula for Shabbos, see how he makes Avdalah. So I got a better idea. Abaye, you go, and then you'll report back to me. So kiasa Abaye amalei hechi amar. So now when Abaye comes back to Rav Yitzchak, so okay, everyone follow the chain over here. Abaye now is going to see how Ula is going to be making Havdalah, even though Rav Yitzchak was instructed by his father, Rav Yehuda, to do so, but Rav Yitzchak subbed the job out to Abaye, and now Abaye is reporting back to Rav Yehuda, who ultimately is going to report back to Rav Yehuda. Hopefully all that was perfectly clear. So Amar Le Baruch Hamavda Mikosh Lechol. Okay, Amar Vesulo. So okay, fine. So now we know in the context of our Gemara, so Ula said a Baruch Hamavda Mikosh Lechol, meaning that was his chasima, and now we know that that was a, quote-unquote, a controversial position. I don't really mean controversial. I mean that there was a range of positions, and Ula clearly articulated the position of Shmuel, which is that you should say at the chasima, Baruch Hamavda Mikosh Lechol, and not Mikadosh Yisrael. Good. Also, l'kamedavua amalei hechi amar. So now Rav Yitzchak is going back to his father to report to Rav Yehuda. And so Rav Yehuda says, "Nu, what did you see?" So amalei, so Rav Yitzchak at least gets points for being honest. Meaning following the instructions of his father precisely, he does not get points for. In fact, as we're going to see in just a moment, he's going to lose points for that. But at least, however, he's honest. So amalei, ana lo azlei, ana shadrisa l'abaye. So Rav Yitzchak says to his father, look, I didn't go to Ula for Shabbos, and I didn't see him make Havdalah, but I sent Abaye to go. V'amrli, I'm avdu mikosh l'chol. And what he said was, I'm avdu mikosh l'chol. Now, Rav Yehuda was really unhappy, meaning the report that was given to him, I'm sure, was fully credible. It was provided by Abaye, so I'm sure Rav Yehuda had no problem with the report that was given to him, but the problem was, is that he gave very clear instructions to his son. He wanted his son to go to Ula himself. And his son felt that, you know what, I'm not ready to go. I don't want to go. And we'll see why in just a moment. but and he subbed the job out to Abaye so that Abaye would go. And Rav Yehuda was furious. Amar Leh. So Rav Yehuda now is giving tochacha to his son. He says to his son, Rav Ravunase Damar, Usaruse Damar, Garmale Lamar, Delo Tema Shmaita Mipume. He says, I feel bad saying this, but, right, you're so arrogant, you're so ego-driven, meaning you felt that you were above the position of having to go to Ula to see how Ula's going to make Avdallah. So I'm telling you what, because you felt yourself to be so above this, so as a result of that, I'm telling you what's going to happen. They're going to say over the halacha, and when they say over the halacha of what Ula's practice was, they're not going to say it in your name, they're going to say it in Abaye's name. And as a result of that, you're going to be lost in the part of the Shalshalas HaMesora. You just simply won't be part of the tradition. And the Rashbam writes over here, that's a loss. That's a real loss. Right? The Lotikmar Shmaisa Mipume, the Rashbam writes, I'm reading the Rashbam inside. The Rav Yitzchak Ela Mipume Da Abaye, it's going to be said over in the name of Abaye. The Amrin and the Rashbam quotes the Gemara in Yevamos. Kol Tamachachem Shomrim Davar Shmua Mipiv. You have a Tamachachem and somebody quotes him after he has expired. Sifso Sav Dovavos Bekever. So his lips move in the grave. Now, obviously not to be taken literally, but obviously over here, what it clearly means is that it presents an Aliyas Neshama for the individual. When you say over a piece of somebody's Torah and he's already left the world, but still, it provides for him Aliyas Neshama. So what you lost, of what Rav Yehuda is telling his son Rav Yitzchak, what you lost now is the chelik in that particular portion of Torah Shabbat Peh. It's not going to be said in your name, and obviously, obviously Rav Yehuda was really upset with his son for not having gone himself. Okay, all said and done, we're almost done with the, not only with the daf, but with this particular section in terms of what should be the chasima of Havdalah. So again, to us, which would seem to be a non-starter of a discussion, but because we have a sitter and because it's already been formatted for us, but what is obviously over here a significant discussion in the Gemara is what's the proper chasima of Havdalah. And so there are a range of positions that we saw in the Braisa, a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel, the position taken by Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, the opinion of Ula that we just went through. And so far, the Gemara seems to be landing on the proper chasim of Avdala should be Hamavdo ben Kosh Lechol. The Gemara challenges now. We are on the very bottom of, not the bottom, we are in the middle of a short Amud of Kuf Dalamud Beis. The Gemara quotes the following Braisa. Twice in Shasta, we're going to be seeing this Braisa. We saw it already in the seventh Perek of Brachos, right? We get a lot of action today from the seventh Perek of Brachos. So we saw this in the seventh Perek of Brachos, and here now in Pesachim Kuf Dalin, so we get to see it again. So, Kol HaBrachos, Kulam Posech BeBaruch VeChosein, Behem BeBaruch. So what is your standard format of a bracha? So your standard format of a bracha, it opens up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, and then you have whatever the paragraph is about, whatever it's concerning. And then as you approach the end of the paragraph, so there's going to be a chasimas abracha. And it ends off with the words Baruch Atah Hashem. And then whatever the central note, the central theme of that bracha is going to be. That's your standard format of a bracha. Almost every bracha falls in that format, with notable exceptions. Chutz. Mibirchos mitzvahs, except for the bracha over a mitzvah and birchos aperos, and the bracha over fruit and bracha smuch lechaverta, and when you have successive brachas and bracha achrona shebekriyas shma, and the final bracha of kriyas shma. Sheyesh mehem posech bebaruch vein chosen bebaruch. Some of them open up with the words baruch atah Hashem, do not conclude that way. Shechosen bebaruch vein posech bebaruch. Some of them end with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, but don't open up with Baruch Atah Hashem. V'atov v'ameitiv, and the Baruch Atov v'ameitiv posech b'baruch v'enochosim b'baruch. So it opens up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, but does not have a chasima. Okay, so with these notable exceptions, aside from these notable exceptions, so you're going to have some brachas, I'm sorry, aside from these notable exceptions, the standard format of a bracha is it opens up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, then with the paragraph, and then with a final concluding bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, and then central theme. Again, with these notable exceptions. Now, Kasha Le'ula, as we now turn to the top of Kuf Hamad Aleph. So that's difficult for Ula, because Ula seems to have made the bracha, and he opened up with the words Baruch, and he did not have a chasima. Meaning, how did his bracha of Havdalah go? So his bracha of Havdalah wasn't Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Hamavdo Ben Kosh Lechol Ben Ur Lechoshech Ben Yisrael Amim. It didn't have that central paragraph Then follow with Baruch Atah Hashem Hamavdi Mikosh Lachol, meaning like what we do. But Ula's Avdallah was just simply Baruch Atah Hashem. I assume Elokeinu Melech Olam Hamavdi Mikosh Lachol. And that was it. And that was the Bracha of Ula. And it's not one of the noted exceptions that we saw together here in this Braisa. So the Gemara says, Amalach Ula Hanami Kibircha Samitzvah Damya. So Ula will say, look, this is not difficult for me because look, the Braisa already gave us a number of notable exceptions. So what I'll tell you is that I firmly believe that Havdalah is just simply one, it just fits into the category of one of the notable exceptions. Notably, it's Ki Birchas HaMitzvah. Dami, it's like a Birchas HaMitzvah. Birchas HaMitzvah, my time, Mishum de Hodahi. So when it comes to Birchas HaMitzvah, it's just Hodah. There's no narration, there's no exposition. It's just simply a simple Hodah. Kosh Baruch Hu, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity of doing the following mitzvah. So therefore, it does not have a paragraph. And so therefore, you could just be succinctly said, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, in the case of Birchas HaMitzvah, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvah Savitz Divanu, and then whatever the mitzvah is. So that is now, that would be a scenario in which there's no need to have a paragraph followed then by Chasima. And what Ula will tell you is that Havdalah follows in suit. So Hanami Hodahi, this also falls under the category of Hodah, just like a Birchas HaMitzvah. And so therefore, there doesn't need to be a paragraph, followed then by a chasima. Okay, that's what Ula would say in his defense. Now, as far as the examples that were given in terms of what are exceptions to the rule, so there is obviously a lot to discuss over here. I mean, we formally finished the daf, but just in terms of the examples that are given, so there's a lot of discussion. So first of all, you can see Tosfos over here, who really takes an opportunity to go over so many brachas that we say in the course of our day, over the course of the year, where it does not seem to be following the rule that's provided over here in our Gemara. You can see Tosfos over here, same Tosfos in the seventh parak of brachos, which he tries to go through the various brachas that don't seem to be following the rule, but without going through the Tosfos right now, but just to highlight some of the very basic points of the Rashbam. So as far as Birchos HaMitzvot are concerned, so that we don't need a Rashbam for. Meaning these are exceptions to the rule. The rule is that your standard format of a bracha should be paragraph, opening with the words Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Then at the end of the paragraph, you get to a chasima, you get to a concluding bracha. That's standard format. What are notable exceptions? So one is Birchos HaMitzvot. Good, and the Rashbam says that we all know. Lisate betzitzis al netilas lulav. Okay, and the Rashbam writes over there, why is that an exception? Lefi she'ein behem ribui dvarim. Because there's really not a lot to talk about, meaning we know exactly what we need to do in terms of making a bracha. Bracha smucha lechaverta. So I'll show you an interesting Rashbam in just a moment. And the bracha achron of kriyashma, that's also a notable exception. Bracha achron of kriyashma. The third bracha of kriyashma, which obviously follows the shema. And the Rashbam writes over here, sharei hifse kriyashma, Afal Pikein Eino Maschol Babe Baruch. Now, really, what should have happened, writes the Rashbam, is that you had three paragraphs of Shema. Those three paragraphs of Shema serve as the hefsek. So the truth be told is that what should we do with the third bracha of Shema after the three paragraphs of Shema is really we should open up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, V'chashvin Alei Bircha Smucha L'Chaverta. The Rashbam does something interesting over here. He really puts this in the category of successive brachas. Meaning that the point that the Bryce is making is that third paragraph of Shema really fits into the category of Brachas Mukhla Chaverta. And we're not going to look at the three paragraphs of Shema as a hefsek. That's the Rashbam's explanation over there. Just highlight two more things and then we'll conclude. Number one, Brachas Mukhla Chaverta. So after the first bracha, any successive bracha does not need to open up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem. That's one of the exceptions to the rule. Okay, we see this daily, multiple times a day. Shmona Esrei as a perfect example, right? Every successive bracha after the first bracha does not open up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, but rather opens up with just simply whatever the theme of that paragraph is. And then it has a chasima, and then it goes on and on. So as a simple question, why do successive brachas not need to open up with every one of the successive brachas? Why does it need to open up with the words Baruch Atah Hashem? So the Rashbam over here writes, Yesh Mehen, Divra Amaskol Yesh Mehen, Shechos Men Beno Posech, Kegon Brachas Mucha Chaverta, Sharei Potrasa Harishona, Sheniftecha Bebaruch. So the way the Rashbam over here expresses it is that each successive bracha really attaches itself to the opening bracha to Hashem of the opening bracha. So it's interesting. The way the Rashbam views it is that bracha to Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam of that first bracha really is serving as the opening for the first bracha and every successive bracha as well. There is another way to say it. If you look at the Sefer Chinuch, right? It's something I spoke about in the past. So there is another way to say it. If you look at the Sefer Chinuch, forgive me, I forgot which mitzvah it was. It's the Sefer Chinuch that discusses benching. So it sounds like if you read it inside, and I'm not reading it right now, but if you read it inside, so it sounds like, the reason why successive brachas do not need a Berchat Hashem is because it's coming off of a chasima. Meaning, what's the chasima of the previous brach? Berchat Hashem. So that provides for you the Berchat Hashem. That could be another way to say it. Differences between them. Shmona Esrei is a great example of successive brachas. Benching is a phenomenal example of successive brachas. The second, third bracha of benching also is not going to open up with the words Berchat Hashem because they're successive brachas. Which now brings us to the last point of this morning, and that's Hatov HaMeitiv. Take a look at the last Rashbam in the Amud when it comes to Birchas Hatov HaMeitiv. Birchas Amazan Afagav Desmucha L'Chaverta. So here's an interesting one where the fourth bracha of benching, the bracha of Hatov HaMeitiv, is the successive bracha, and meanwhile, it opens up with Birchat Hashem. So it's an exception to the exception, right? The exceptions are that when I have successive brachas, so then it doesn't open up with the words Berchat Hashem, but Hatov HaMeitiv, despite the fact that it's a successive bracha, is going to open up with Berchat Hashem. But the Rashbam over here explains, Sh'arei Hischa be'berchas amazan afa pikein, posech ba'berch mishum de'bracha be'anpe nafsha itkin. So here, once again, we go back to the seventh parak of brachos. And we know that the fourth bracha of benching is, in fact, an independent bracha. It is something that was appended to benching at a later time. So in the second century, we had the last stand with Rabbi Akiva and Bar Kokhba and Beitar, right? So somewhere in about the 130s. So we had a last stand and we lost and it was a decimation. And over there, over the miracle that took place in Beitar, so they instituted the bracha Hatov HaMeitiv Hatov, Shelo Yisrichu VaMeitiv Shenitnu L'Kvura. So the bodies didn't decompose and didn't decay. So the event of Beitar took place on Tisha B'Av, and meanwhile burial was not allowed until the 15th day of Av. So you're talking about 6 days of non-burial. So under natural law, so there would be terrible decomposition of the bodies. And meanwhile, the Kadosh Baruch Hu's miracle was that there was no decomposition, and as a result, in gratitude to that miracle. Admittedly, it's really the definition of bittersweet, meaning the miracle comes in the wake of a decimation of the entire army, of Bar Kokhba's army, but still, Akadosh Baruch Hu obviously sent us a message in that miracle. The Meshech Chachma, by the way, discusses what exactly the message was at length. But anyway, Aval Anu Ma'arichim Ba'Kitzas Kedei Lomar Ba Shalsh Machios. So it's an appended bracha Hatov HaMeitiv. Now, the Rashbam over here just deals with one more detail that I'm going to go over. And that is that really the bracha of Hatov HaMeitiv, the fourth bracha of benching, should just simply be Hatov HaMeitiv and that's it. Meaning like we say over a new wine that's introduced into a meal, Hatov HaMeitiv. However, again, going back to the seventh parak of brachos, there's also a requirement to add machios. Get the mafarish parak shosh sh'alchu. I'm not going to go through the details right now of what that means that we're adding Malchus, if you remember the seventh parak over there. But anyway, But anyway, if you got all that, that's why the fourth bracha of benching opens up with the words Berchat Hashem, because really it's independent. It's not a successive bracha to benching. And by the way, that's why we say Amen after Bonei Berachim of Yushalayim, to note, to clearly articulate that benching has come to a formal conclusion after the third bracha. But the Chachamim appended this bracha. That's why it opens up with the words Berchat Hashem. Why doesn't it have a chasima? Because in essence, it's really just Berchat Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hatov HaMeitiv. Granted, it's padded a little bit, but the Rashbam points out. But the truth of the matter is that really it's a. It's really, at its essence, it's Hatov HaMeitiv. Okay, anyway, just want to spend just a couple of minutes going over some of the examples that's provided over here in the Gemara. Let's recap our daf today. So our daf today started off with a discussion of the sentence immediately before the chasima. So is it going to be, does it have to capture the chasima, or could it just simply be a continuation of the beginning of the paragraph? Under normal circumstances for Havdalah, it's not going to make a difference, because Havdalah thematically is Hamavdal Ben Kodesh L'Chol. But let's say, for example, where Havdalah is Hamavdal Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh, which it is when you're going from Shabbos to Yontav. So what should be the sentence immediately before the chasima? Good, so it's going to play out a nafkamina, whether the paragraph before is the main chasima or the main psicha. Fine. Next discussion of the Gemara is, once again, how many Havdalah should be said in the course of Havdalah? How many distinctions should be made? So we had a range of positions of, some say one, some say three, some say seven. It could be that there's a range between three and seven. Anyway, Rebbe Lazar, as we saw in yesterday's daf, has reiterated again in today's daf, clearly subscribed to the position that you should be saying three. And he did add a fourth, but that fourth is Me'ena Chasima, and therefore it doesn't count. When you do elect which Havdalahs to be stated in the Havdalah, again, going back to a time where it was not standardized, so what do you have to choose from? You have to choose from a Havdalah that's used anywhere in Tanakh where the word Havdalah actually is used. And the Braisa that we saw on the Amud Aleph today gave us seven different examples of where we're going to find Havdalahs that are used. Is the list exhaustive? So you need to speak to somebody who knows Tanakh, right? I'm unfortunately not that person. What's the chasima of Havdalah going to be? As we're now reviewing in the bottom of Kuf Dal Medav. So the chasima of Havdalah is subject to a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, and Rav's position is dismissed by the later Amorayim. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Chananya wanted to create a hybrid approach between Rav and Shmuel. That position is also dismissed. As we know, the halacha is Baruch Hamavdo Ben Kosh L'Chol being the chasima of the bracha. And then on the Amud Beis, it really follows the story of Ula. Ula comes to the town of Pampadisa. Rav Yehuda gives directive to his son. I want you to hear him make Havdalah. I want to know how Ula made Havdalah. And Ula just simply said, Baruch Atah Hashem, L'Kedem HaChalam, Amavdu Mikosh L'Chol. That was the entirety of his Havdalah. And drama in the story as Rav Yehuda instructed Rav Yitzchak to go. Rav Yitzchak did not go. He sent Abaye. Abaye then reported to Rav Yitzchak, who in turn reported to Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda was really upset with his son that he felt that he was in a station above in life where he himself did not have to go. And finally, the Gemara quoted the Braisa that says that bracha should follow a format. Meaning, even though the Nusach HaBracha itself is not super standardized, but the Bracha should follow a format, and the format is Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, followed then by a paragraph of whatever the Bracha is about, followed then by a Chasima, with notable exceptions, but the Braisa says, but that's your standard format. Ula, how can your Havdalah just simply be Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Amavdu Mikosh L'Chol? And the Gemara's answer in defense of Ula is that Ula believes that Havdalah follows basically one of the exceptions that are known in the Braisa. Notably, a Birchas HaMitzvah. Birchas HaMitzvah, where the Rashbam describes, there's no Ribui Devarim. How much is there to talk about? There's not a lot to talk about. And therefore, the bracha is a streamlined bracha, Birchas HaTashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, and then just get right to the point. So Ula said the same thing is true regarding Havdalah. Okay, Adkan.